title search company, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Donald Wertheimer. I'm here on behalf of the title search company. I wish to basically very briefly go over a chronology of events so we will see what happened in this case and what did not happen. Originally, in the mid-90s, Lisa Feltner filed suit against the title search company alleging sexual discrimination. That case went to trial. The title search company lost. That adverse decision was appealed to this court, and that was affirmed by this court. After that, Ms. Feltner proceeded with garnishment against the title search company. Now, the title search company is a company engaged in the title business in Granger, Indiana, which is St. Joseph County, and as typical with all title companies, they maintain accounts. The account that Ms. Feltner was going after was an account that is an escrow account, and in the garnishment order of September 24, 1998, Magistrate Pierce determined that this particular account is subject to satisfy the judgment of Ms. Feltner. The title search company then asked for a reconsideration in November. That was denied by Magistrate Pierce. Then in February of 2000, the title search company filed suit in the St. Joseph Circuit Court contending that First Source Bank violated its statutory and common law duties owed to the title search company as a depositor. However, 2 months later, First Source Bank then filed a petition for stay in the U.S. District Court contending that under the All Writs Act, this case, the state court case, could not proceed. And on June 16, 2000, Magistrate Judge Nectarline entered an injunction under the Anti-Injunction Act, which basically determined that the title search company cannot say certain things or raise certain arguments in state court. What is significant is that in September of 1998, Magistrate Pierce never determined, there is never a finding, there is not a holding or a determination as to the ownership of that account which Ms. Feltner was allowed to attach and levy against. That becomes quite significant because in Indiana there are three types of accounts that a depositor can have: a general account, a special account, there is an account, an escrow account and a special account. Now, in November of 2000, when First Source Bank filed its petition for civil contempt, Magistrate Nectarline issued a report and recommendation on January 22, which was approved by Judge Miller. And basically, the title search company was found in contempt because there was a determination that Magistrate Pierce must have necessarily determined that the account was owned by the title search company. But it's not that easy because, first of all, there never was a determination of ownership of that account. Secondly, in order to find contempt, there has to be behavior clearly prohibited within the four corners of the order wherein the bank is contending that a contempt citation should issue. Now, since there was never an express finding as to the precise nature of this account in question, it cannot be said what type of account it was, and that ought to be determined by state law. Now, I do want to indicate to Your Honors that the fate of that state court action is such that a motion for summary judgment was granted in favor of First Source Bank, and that is currently on appeal to the Indiana Court of Appeals. Now, under the Anti-Injunction Act, there are three reasons for a federal court to intervene in a state action. If it's expressly authorized by Congress, which it's not, or it's necessary in aid of its jurisdiction, which it's not, or to protect or effectuate its judgments. That is the only exception, the relitigation exception, which we're dealing with here in this appeal. And that is a de novo review. that this court, I respectfully submit, should undertake. Now, whether the court properly exercised its authority to issue the injunction is an abuse of discretion standard. Now, under Indiana law, it has never been determined what rights and obligations First Source Bank has to the title search company. That's never been litigated. And in fact, Magistrate Nectarline on page 9 of the June of 2000 injunction specifically indicated that title search is entitled to pursue that case, and First Source Bank agreed to that. Now, since we have general deposits, special deposits, and deposits for specific purposes, what is significant is, even if it is determined to be an escrow account under Indiana law, the McClure case, you can, in fact, issue a garnishment order against an escrow account. So whatever the account was in September of 1998 was never determined. Now, the title search company was punished for proceeding in state court. There were certain allegations in the complaint that were ordered redacted, which the title search company did. However, clearly, if it is determined that the title search company was not in contempt, then the fee award would necessarily have to be reversed also. And in no stretch of the imagination was that federal garnishment order necessarily dictated that the account was an escrow account. Because, in fact, it could be an escrow account, and if an escrow account, which is subject to garnishment, and as indicated in the submissions to this court, the title search company was holding funds and had liability to third parties, even though it could have title to that account under Indiana law, and it would have the right only for contingent and unmatured amounts, depending upon liability to third parties. So fundamentally, what the title search company is asking for is for a determination that there was no violation of the June of 2000 injunction, that the title search company is only wishing to go forward on state claims as to the duties between the bank and a depositor, a determination as to whether this is a general deposit account, special account, or deposit for a specific purpose is something that has never been determined, and that the finding of contempt was an abuse of discretion because the title search company has never, ever cast a doubt on the legitimacy of Magistrate Pierce's garnishment order. And to look at it another way, First Source Bank has certain statutory and common law obligations toward the title search company. What First Source Bank did or did not do prior to September 24, 1998, up until the entry of the garnishment order of September 24, 1998, is really the area of inquiry in title search's state claim against First Source Bank. And of course, the state issues were never and necessarily were never decided by the Feltner litigation. So fundamentally, title search company is asking that the contempt citation be reversed and that the orders entered by Magistrate Pierce as approved by Judge Miller likewise be reversed.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, my name is Pat Murphy and I represent First Source Bank, the appellee, and the garnishee defendant below. Title search did not appeal the garnishment order entered by the lower court back in.
He's not complaining about the garnishment order now, he just said so.
That's right, and he did not appeal the federal injunction issued in June 2000 either. What they're appealing is Judge Miller's finding of contempt and sanction of title search for violating the federal injunction.
Well, you're on sound ground now. You both agree with that position.
Judge Miller did not abuse his discretion, first, in finding title search in contempt for violating the federal injunction. In the state action, title search chose to ignore the federal injunction and continue to litigate at least five separate issues that the federal court prohibited it from relitigating, including whether the bank account in question was an escrow account, including whether title search was the sole owner of the funds in that account, the funds that were garnished, and including whether First Source was authorized to remove those funds in payment of a proper, valid, and enforceable garnishment order. In direct violation of the federal injunction, Title Search filed an affidavit in the state court and submitted a brief in the state court that re-argued those very same issues almost verbatim. As the district court indicated, Title Search's representations in the state action could be viewed not only as a violation of the federal injunction, but as an attempt to mislead the state court as well. Title Search's state court action is based entirely on the faulty premise that the bank account in question was an escrow account that belonged, that held funds belonging to Title Search instead of its customers. That premise was rejected by the district court three separate times, first in issuing the garnishment order, next in denying Title Search's motion for reconsideration of that order, and third,
well,
in
the
federal...
when the garnishment order was issued, in the first instance, was that contested, whether it was an escrow account or not?
Magistrate Judge Pierce allowed Title Search the opportunity to present evidence to indicate that those funds were held in an escrow account and therefore off limits.
Yeah, not subject to garnishment.
And Title Search failed to present evidence. At the next garnishment hearing held about a year later, Title Search failed to even show up or send counsel, in which case Magistrate Judge Pierce entered the garnishment order. So Title Search had an opportunity and first failed to present evidence and then second failed to show up.
So when Mr. Wertheimer said that that issue was never litigated, you say it was litigated and it was found to be not an escrow account.
Correct.
Was it litigated?
Pardon me?
Was it litigated?
The issue was, there was an opportunity to litigate, and Magistrate Judge Pierce specifically allowed them a chance to do so. They chose not to present evidence. And Magistrate Judge Pierce entered the garnishment order, and then later the federal court entered an injunction prohibiting Title Search from relitigating that very same issue in state court. Title Search went ahead and relitigated it anyway. And Judge Miller found Title Search in contempt and issued the sanctions. The most egregious violation of the federal injunction was Title Search's attempt to, in the state action, to undermine the federal garnishment order itself by claiming that it never received notice of the hearing on September 24, 1998, at which the garnishment order was issued, that a representative of First Source had testified falsely earlier.
Does the bank have knowledge of whether a particular account is an escrow account or not?
This particular account...
No, any account. When I open an account in a bank, an escrow account, is the bank aware of the fact that it's an escrow account?
If there is an escrow agreement, a written contract, which
right.
was not in this case...
But by and large, you would know whether the account was an escrow account. Would the bank then raise that defense on its own behalf, on behalf of its client, depositor client, if something were garnished?
No, what First Source would do was show up at the hearing like it was required to do after answering an interrogatory, stating what's in the account, and then if the testimony was required of First Source.
Well, would they call the court's attention to the fact that there was an escrow agreement and it was an escrow account?
I'm not sure that if that was the case, that they had an escrow agreement, then they very well likely would have done that. But that wasn't the case here.
Now, I understand. I'm trying to find out how the thing works. I mean, if you get or serve with a garnishment and you know of a particular account and you know the account is one that is not subject to garnishment being an escrow account or something of that nature. My question is, do you now contest the garnishment based on that fact, or do you just pay out and say, you know, notify the depositor that you got a problem here, Junior, because somebody's trying to take the money, and you better go tell them they're not entitled?
Well, I think
which
it would
do
come,
you do?
It would come to the attention of the court before the garnishment order was ever issued.
How?
By the proceeding supplemental, when a First Source bank representative was brought in to testify. And
when would he be brought in to testify? When there was a garnishment issued?
It was before the garnishment issued. The lower court held two separate hearings, one at which they heard evidence, including evidence from a representative of First Source Bank, and the second where they, title search just simply did not show up.
Well, ordinarily would work. She got a judgment for a discrimination judgment against the title search. In supplemental proceedings, you'd proceed against the title search. Where are your checking accounts, where are your bank accounts, and so on. And they would be identified. Now,
they were.
And they were. But were they identified as escrow accounts?
No, they were identified by account number and account amount.
And that's their opportunity to say, but that's an escrow account.
That's right.
And they didn't do that.
They didn't do that. They had that.
Then you serve garnishment papers on First Source Bank and proceed as if it's an account owned by the title company. Their money.
That's
their
correct.
Not money they're holding for anybody else.
That's correct. First Source Bank received a federal garnishment order and promptly complied with it as we were required to do.
And that's intelligent. Way to go.
But it was then dragged into state court to defend that action for the last 2 years, and it was Title Search's actions in the state court that caused Judge Miller to sanction.
Did I hear him say that you lost that case in the state court?
No, Title Search lost by way of summary judgment. Summary judgment was granted for First Source Bank, and Title Search is currently appealing that to the Indiana Court of Appeals.
So you won all the way along?
Yes.
Oh. You've got that smiling look of a winner about you, then.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Next, Title Search argues that Judge Miller abused his discretion in awarding monetary sanctions against Title Search for its civil contempt. Title Search does not challenge the amount of the sanction. Affidavits were entered into evidence from First Source's attorneys to substantiate the amount of the attorney's fee award. Rather, Title Search simply claims that the monetary sanction was inappropriate and unwarranted. The lower court has broad discretion in determining the proper sanction for a finding of contempt. Here, Judge Miller did two things. He coerced compliance with the federal injunction by ordering Title Search to go back to state court and file a memorandum cleaning up its misrepresentations. And secondly, it compensated First Source Bank for its loss by awarding attorney's fees. Both of those rulings by Judge Miller were proper and were not an abuse of discretion. And finally, I see that I'm running out of time.
You can finish it. Just take another minute, please.
The Title Search would like to focus the court's attention on the propriety of the federal garnishment order itself or the federal injunction itself. It didn't appeal those issues. It appealed the sanction and contempt order only. And those findings are ruled by an abuse of discretion standard, and Judge Miller did not abuse his discretion in finding Title Search in contempt and awarding sanctions. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. All right. Does he have any?
A minute and 10 seconds.
All right. 1 minute and 2 seconds you have, sir, if you would like to use them.
10 seconds, did you say?
Yeah.
1 minute, 10 seconds.
Thank you.
All right. First of all, the Title Search Company has always contended that First Source had a duty to protect that account and didn't fulfill that duty. And in fact, there's reference.
Was there an escrow agreement?
That's the other thing. In the submission of Ms. Partika, the president of the title search company, she says there was an escrow agreement. She could not find it. So as we speak here today, there is no written escrow agreement that we've ever been able to locate.
And so as far as the record shows, the bank doesn't know that there's an escrow agreement.
That's not really true, because there are millions of dollars generally in this account, because you have lenders wiring money in all the time, money going out, whereas you have something in the five digits in the business account, less than the judgment.
The plaintiff in this case is trying to recover this judgment.
Correct.
That your client hasn't paid.
Correct.
Goes to a deposition and you identify accounts that you have under oath.
Right.
And based on that information, they go out to try to collect this judgment that you haven't paid.
Right.
And did you ever identify that account initially as an escrow account?
Yes. It was identified. I was not the attorney for the title search company in that.
That was an out when you said.
Well, I understand. But in the submissions before this court, there is it shows in the record that the time that Ms. Partika was there, she did identify it as such, yes.
She said that this is an escrow account?
Yes.
In the beginning?
Yes.
You heard that said?
That would have been Magistrate Pierce.
Well, how do you know that it was said?
I was not there.
Is
and
it
I
in
did
the record?
I was.
Is it in the court record?
It presumably is in the court record.
It is or it isn't, or don't you know?
I don't know. I have the verified statement of Ms. Partika that is in the record in this appeal, saying that she did so testify.
Is there a record?
This whole thing go away by paying the judgment too.
Oh, I agree, but it could have been paid in a different way from a different account.
They probably don't care which
one. Oh, I agree with that.
Let me dig up something. I'll get back to this.
Yes.
Was there a record of that hearing before Magistrate Judge Pierce?
Yes, there are always those hearings, yes.
So there was a court reporter present, and there's a recorded section of what was said by whom at that time.
That is correct.
And it's your belief that at that time the court was called, attention was called to the fact that this was an escrow account?
Yes.
And okay.
Yes.
But you have not seen that.
That is correct.
And that's all that you have is your client's word that she said.
Word,
she said it.
Yes, plus her verified statement.
Thank you kindly. All right. We'll proceed to the next case and take that case under advisement. Proceed to case number 5. 46.